All right, so if you have your Bibles, you could turn to Luke chapter 6. That's where we're going to be today, Luke chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at verses 43 through the end of the chapter, verse 49. And I'm going to kind of break it in half as we go. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 43, it should be on the screen below me. This is what Jesus says. He says, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." So several years ago when we lived in Virginia, we had this invasive climbing vine that grew in the mulch bed outside of our house. And initially, this vine, it wrapped around a trellis against the side of the house, and it looked kind of nice, and so we didn't think much of it. We kind of left it alone. But after a year or two, this vine began to grow along the surface of the mulch bed, and eventually it began to wrap itself around the other plants there and bushes there and kill them out, choke them out. And so I began the work of cutting back this vine. And no matter how much I trimmed back this vine, it would always reappear and resurface and start to wrap itself around these plants and kill them again in our mulch bed. Now, the problem was that while I was cutting back all that you could see on the surface, the root system of this vine was deep and it was alive and well. Now, the reason I share all of that with you is because sometimes you and I, we see bad fruit in our lives. We see unhealthy and destructive attitudes and behaviors that concern us, things that we know we should get rid of. And so we get to work trying to prune and cut back all of those behaviors and attitudes. And for a time, some of us can actually get things looking a lot better on the surface. But the issue is that deep down within us, the root system is alive and well. And eventually, those things begin to grow and surface again. Now, I'm 100% sure that among those of you watching, there are many of you who can relate to that. There are many of you who can relate because you've struggled with certain addictions and behaviors, and time again, you've cut things back only to watch them reappear in your life. And so, can we just start off by admitting that any kind of real life change is hard? It's very difficult. And oftentimes, change doesn't happen overnight. Most of the time, it's slow and deliberate, and it takes real intentionality on our behalf. So where does change begin? Okay, what is the root system of all of our unhealthy and destructive attitudes and behaviors? Is it simply psychological? Is the key to change just changing our way of thinking or right thinking? Now, the world would tell us that that's the case, right? That's why there's so many self-help gurus out there, right? So many self-help websites and books that we can get. And I think that may be part of it, but is that the root system of all of our problems? Or is it simply an act of the will? Is the key to change simply choosing right things from wrong things? Well, I think that might be part of it. But here in the passage in Luke chapter 6, Jesus is saying that the root of all of our unhealthy and destructive attitudes and behaviors is a messed up heart. It's that our hearts are messed up. He starts off by saying in verse 43 and 44, he says, if you want to know what kind of tree it is, you simply have to look at its fruit. So if you see figs, then it's a fig tree. If you see grapes, that it's a grape tree, and on, right? The fruit reveals the tree. Now, obviously, Jesus isn't just talking about trees here. If he was, then it's kind of strange, right? But that's not what he's doing. He's actually using the tree and the fruit as an illustration about our actions and the root from which those actions grow. So the fruit is a metaphor for our actions, and the root of our actions, according to Jesus, is our heart. It's our heart. In verse 45, he says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure of their heart produces evil. Now, in our culture, when we talk about matters of the heart, we automatically think of feelings and emotions, right? We've even dedicated an entire holiday to the heart. And it has a naked baby angel as its mascot, armed with a bow and arrow, right? And because of this, we have a tendency to think of the heart as being a passive instrument of feeling. That's what we think of the heart is. It's a passive instrument of feeling. And so we say things like, I fell in love with him, or she stole my heart, or he broke my heart, or they made me angry, right? In other words, my heart is a passive receptacle that responds to whatever circumstances life throws my way. But Jesus is saying, your heart is not simply a passive instrument of feeling, but an active instrument of purpose. I want to say that again. Jesus here in this passage is saying that your heart isn't simply a passive instrument of feeling, but an active instrument of purpose. If someone sins against you, even if they were in the wrong, your heart produces behaviors. Your heart produces anger and bitterness. And so what Jesus is saying is whatever fills your heart will eventually come out. Whatever fills your heart will overflow into your attitudes and your behaviors and your actions. Now you've probably heard someone say somewhere along the way, I'm not usually like that. I was just having a bad day, or that's not who I am. 5 years ago, some sexual harassment allegations came out against the actor Dustin Hoffman for things that had happened in the 1980s. And Dustin Hoffman issued an apology. And in his written statement, this is what he said. He said, I am sorry. That incident is not reflective of who I am. That incident is not reflective of who I am. But Jesus would say, actually, it is. He would say, out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of your heart comes your actions and your attitudes and your behaviors. So going back to the original illustration, while we should prune and work to clean up our external behavior, it's not enough. It can't merely be about simply about external behavior modification. We have to address the root issue, or we'll continue to see those things grow and reappear in our lives. Now, I think this goes without saying, and I think all of us know this. This isn't rocket science, but real change happens from the inside out. It happens from the inside out. Real change begins, according to Jesus, in the heart. And so Jesus is essentially asking here in this passage of Scripture, what does your heart truly treasure? What does your heart truly treasure? Now, to treasure something means to assign value or worth to it. And this is actually what worship is. The word that we get in the English worship comes from two old English words. One is the word worth, and the other word is the suffix ship. That's where we get the word worship from, worth ship, right? So worship is showing or displaying the worth or the value of God. And here's the truth. At this very moment, and for as long as the world will endure, everyone, every single person on this planet is worshiping someone or something. We're constantly giving our lives to other things, which can be causes or experiences or ideologies or jobs or money or stuff or success or comfort or certain relationships. For some of us, it's pleasures, hobbies, food, drink, and on it could go. We give our lives to so many different things. We invest our time, our energy, our effort, our passion, our resources into such things. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus says this. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, what a person values most will reveal where their heart is. And so a person's time, attention, actions, attitudes, energy will be focused on whatever they value above all else. So let's just take a second. If you were to look at where you spend your time and focus all of your energy and all of your passion, and all of your resources, what would it say about what your heart values above all else? So do you want to know what the root issue is in most of our hearts? Well, it's simple. It's the sin of idolatry. It's the sin of misdirected worship. It's the sin of misplaced treasure. Real change happens only when we get beneath the surface and deal with the false gods that rule and reign over our hearts. And the way that you change isn't simply about getting stuff out of your life or removing things out of your life. It's about finding and chasing something that is worthy of your life. It's about finding and chasing something or someone that is worthy of your worship. And so as followers of Jesus, the heart only begins to change when the object of its affections change. When we begin to place Jesus as ultimate. Now, this is more than just external knowledge about Jesus. I mean, we can know a lot about Jesus and not treasure him. So the question is, does your heart value Jesus above all else? Does your heart value Jesus above all else? Again, externally, we can say yes. But what do your actions and attitudes and behaviors and how you spend your time and your energy and your resources, how do they answer that question? Do you value Jesus above all else? Has he won your heart's affection? The scriptures make it clear that Jesus is superior to everything else in this life. Not just immoral or wrong things, but also good things. And so idolatry is even about taking good things and elevating them above where they should be in our lives. And Jesus wants us to love him above everything else. But when we place things above Jesus or at equal standing with Jesus even, it's an obstacle to the worship of which he alone is worthy and we were created to give him. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, when speaking of externally religious people, Jesus says this. He says, "This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me." So Jesus reminds us that we can worship him externally, right? And our hearts still be far from him. So we can show up. And we can go through all of the religious motions. We can sing all of the songs, say amen in all the right places. We can tell people that we're praying for them. We can quote scripture and say with our mouths that we belong to Jesus. But if it's only external and nothing is happening in our hearts towards God and we're not truly treasuring him above all else, then listen, it amounts to nothing. Jesus says, "In vain do they worship me." We can go through all of the motions and our hearts still be far from him. All true worship is a matter of the heart first. True worship is to know Jesus and to respond rightly based on his worth. To truly value him in our lives above everything else, which then overflows into our actions and our attitudes and our behaviors, which then overflows with external acts of praise and love and service to others. Out of a good heart flows good things, according to Jesus. He then goes on in verse 46, and he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you to do? Why do you call me master? Why do you call me king? Why do you call me Lord, and yet you don't do what I'm asking you to do?" I mean, that's a valid question, right? If we're saying that Jesus is our Lord, that he's our king, then we should do exactly what he's telling us to do, right? He says, "Why do you keep calling me Lord and not do what I tell you to do? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, that deep-rooted, solid foundation. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do what I say is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. It wasn't attached to anything eternal. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So again, here Jesus is saying roots matter. foundations matter. You can be rooted in what's eternal, or you can be rooted in what's temporary, what's easily washed away by the circumstances of this life. So the one who really follows Jesus, who really submits to Jesus as Lord, is the one who values who he is and what he says above everything else, and shapes their lives around him. And eventually time and the difficult circumstances of this life will reveal what's in your heart. And so I just want to close by asking you a question this morning. What are you building your life on? What are you building your life on? If you look at where you invest your time and your energy and your passion and your desire and your resources, what does it reveal about what you treasure in this life? Do you truly treasure Jesus above all else? Do you truly treasure Jesus above all else? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, God, for your word. God, I thank you for the promise that your word doesn't return void, but it accomplishes that which it sent out to do. So right now, God, if we're being honest before you, God, our hearts are gripped by idols. God, we have given our lives, our hearts, our attention, our resources, our time, our energy, our passion to so many different things. And so often, God, we just put you aside while we chase after those things. And you are a jealous God, as your word tells us. And you want all of us. And you even say through the Apostle Paul that worship is submitting ourselves as living sacrifices to you, giving everything that we are and everything that we have before you, and submitting it to you. So I pray right now, God, that we would be honest, God, with where we are in our hearts. God, and the things that we truly treasure in this life. God, and if we are found to be submitting ourselves and giving our lives to anyone but you, Lord, I pray right now that we would repent of those things and we would turn our hearts back to you and lay everything at your feet. That we would cast aside idols, Lord, and worship the Creator of all things. God, you are worthy. You are worthy of everything that we have and more. God, and I thank you, Father, that even while we were still sinners, as your word says, that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for us, God, so that through him, we could be given right standing with you. So, God, I pray right now that we would just believe upon the gospel. God, we would render our whole hearts to you, give you everything that we are, because you've given everything to us. God, have your way with us, Lord. Convict us, challenge us, Lord. The spirits of this world are fighting for our attention, Lord, but we know that you are a jealous God and you desire all of us. And so, God, I pray that you would just show us that in this moment together. And that we would submit ourselves to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.